Thinking Fast and Slow, author Daniel Kahneman. Expert Intuition. When you're asked what you're thinking about, you can normally answer. You believe you know what goes on in your mind, which often consists of one conscious thought leading in an orderly way to another. But that is not the only way the mind works, nor indeed is that the typical way. Most impressions and thoughts arise in your conscious experience without your knowing how they got there. The mental work that produces impressions, intuitions, and many decisions goes on in silence in our mind. Most of us are pitch perfect in detecting anger in the first word of a telephone call. Recognize as we enter a room that where we are the subject of the conversation, and quickly react to subtle signs that the driver of the car in the next lane is dangerous. Our everyday intuitive abilities are no less marvelous than the striking insights of an experienced firefighter or physician, only more common. Valid intuitions develop when experts have learned to recognize familiar elements in a new situation and to act in a manner that's appropriate to it. Two systems. Psychologists have been intensely interested for several decades in two modes of thinking, and we have offered many labels for them. We will refer to the two systems in the mind as System 1 and System 2. System 1 operates automatically and quickly, with little or no effort and no sense of voluntary control. System 2 allocates attention to the effortful mental activities that demand it, including complex computations. The operations of System 2 are often associated with a subjective experience of agency, choice, and concentration. The slow System 2. It is normally easy and actually quite pleasant to walk and think at the same time. But at the extremes, these activities appear to compete for the limited resources of System 2. We can think while strolling, but cannot engage in mental work that imposes a heavy load on short-term memory. If we must construct an intricate argument under time pressure, we would rather be still, and we would prefer sitting to standing. Of course, not all slow thinking requires that form of intense concentration and effortful computation. It varies depending on how complicated the puzzle is. The busy and depleted System 2. Both self-control and cognitive effort are forms of mental work. People who are simultaneously challenged by a demanding cognitive task and by a temptation are more likely to yield to the temptation. System 1 has more influence on behaviour when System 2 is busy. People who are cognitively busy are also more likely to make selfish choices, use sexist language, and make superficial judgments in social situations. Memorising and repeating digits loosens the hold of System 2 on behaviour. But of course, cognitive load is not the only cause of weakened self-control. Self-control requires attention and effort. Another way of saying this is that controlling thoughts and behaviours is one of the tasks that System 2 performs. System 1, an associative machine. When you hear the two words banana and vomit, your mind automatically assumes a temporal sequence and a casual connection between them, forming a sketchy scenario in which bananas cause the sickness. This complex constellation of responses occurred quickly, automatically, and effortlessly. You did not will it, and you could not stop it. It was an operation of System 1. The events that took place as a result of your seeing the words happened by a process called associative activation. Ideas that have been evoked trigger many other ideas in a spreading cascade of activity in your brain. The essential feature of this complex set of mental events is its coherence. Each element is connected, and each supports and strengthens the others. The word evokes memories, which evoke emotions, which in turn evoke facial expressions and other reactions, such as the general tensing up and an avoidance tendency. All this happens quickly and all at once, yielding a self-reinforcing pattern of cognitive, emotional, and physical responses that is both diverse and integrated. It has been called associatively coherent. How judgments happen. There is no limit to the number of questions you can answer, whether they are questions someone else asks or questions you ask yourself. Nor is there a limit to the number of attributes you can evaluate. You are capable of counting the number of capital letters on this page, comparing the height of the windows in your house to the one across the street, and assessing the political prospects of your senator on a scale from excellent to disastrous. The questions are addressed to System 2, which will direct attention and search memory to find the answers. System 2 receives questions or generates them. In either case, it directs attention and searches memory to find the answers. System 1 operates differently. It continuously monitors what's going on outside and inside the mind, and continuously generates assessments of various aspects of the situation without specific intention and with little or no effort. These basic assessments play an important role in intuitive judgment, because they are easily substituted for more difficult questions. This is the essential idea of the heuristics and the biases approach. Two other features of System 1 also support the substitution of one judgment for another. One is the ability to translate values across dimensions, which you would be doing in answering a question that most people find easy. If Sam were as tall as he is intelligent, how tall would he be? Finally, there is the mental shotgun, an intention of System 2 to answer a specific question or evaluate a particular attribute of the situation automatically triggers other computations, including basic assessments. Our two systems equal our two selves. The attentive System 2 is who we think we are. System 2 articulates judgments and makes choices, but it often endorses or rationalizes ideas and feelings that were generated by System 1. You may not know that you are optimistic about a project because something about its leader reminds you of your beloved sister, or that you dislike a person who looks vaguely like your dentist. If asked for an explanation, however, you will search your memory for presentable reasons and will certainly find some. Moreover, you will believe the story you make up. But System 2 is not merely an apologist for System 1. It also prevents many foolish thoughts and inappropriate impulses from overt expression. The investment of attention improves performance in numerous activities. Think of the risks of driving through a narrow space while your mind is wandering, and is essential to some tasks, including comparison, choice, and ordered reasoning. However, System 2 is not a paragon of rationality. Its abilities are limited, and so is the knowledge to which it has access. We do not always think straight when we reason, and the errors are not always due to intrusive or corrective intuitions. Often we make mistakes because we, our System 2, do not know any better. System 1 is indeed the origin of much that we do wrong, but it is also the origin of most of what we do right, which is most of what we do. Our thoughts and actions are routinely guided by System 1 and generally are on the mark. One of the marvels is the rich and detailed model of our world that is maintained in associative memory. It distinguishes surprising from normal events in a fraction of a second, immediately generates an idea of what was expected instead of a surprise, and automatically searches for some casual interpretation of surprises and of events as they take place.